And it's good to have Rusty with us, and good to have Jesse with us. It would be good to have Becky with us.
She'll probably hear
in a minute. And Amy and the other clan. Little April sick.
I don't know where she's at.
Okay.
Well, I said probably forgot to set the clocks ahead.
That's probably that'd be as good an excuse as any. All right. It's good to see everyone. And yeah, thank you.
Great minds. Great minds work together.
Yeah. Thank you. It's good to have the assistant to the assistant helping you out. We are in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would turn to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5.
Keep saying it until I get it open.
Well, you were looking at me like you couldn't hear me.
Do you hear
like that? I still don't know why.
Why? Well, maybe you'll find out. Amos chapter 5. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. Now, everyone in here knows what a lamentation is, right? It is a speech or a communication that is given with weeping or mourning. And so Amos here is given a message from God in which God says, I don't enjoy giving what I'm going to give you. I give it with a brokenness. I give it with a sense of mourning. That's how serious the message is going to be. So he says, the virgin of Israel is fallen. Now, does anyone recall in Revelation when God says to the angel, hurt not the earth until my servants are sealed? And then he goes on to seal 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, totaling 144,000. Now, later on, in Revelation, he will say that Christ is shown on Mount Zion. Now, where is Mount Zion?
Jerusalem.
Huh? Well, it is Jerusalem. It means Jerusalem or Israel. It's synonymous with that. But in this context, which one is he talking about? See, because in Hebrews he says, for we are not come unto a mount which cannot be touched, but unto Mount Zion, which is in heaven. So here Christ is shown in heaven with the 144,000 that he had sent as witnesses. Now what does that tell you? No, they wasn't touched. They wasn't touched. They witnessed until they were no longer needed. And then they're shown with Christ. But there's a description of them. Anyone recall the description? For he says, for these are virgins. What does that mean? What does it mean when you still have your virginity? Huh? Pure. Pure. The pure shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. Well, here he's talking to Israel and he says something's gone. They've lost that pureness. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by a thousand shall leave an hundred, and they that leave by a hundred shall go out by ten. Now, I don't know. I'm not a math major. I understand we do have one in here. But where I come from, that's 10%. 100 is 10% of 1,000, and 10 is 10% of 100. Well, that tells me 90% of them ain't going to make it. I don't. You can say what you want to. 90% of them ain't going to make it. So what would that bid them to do? Be one of the 10%. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel. You know, isn't it just like God? His heart's broken for them. He's weeping over them. He's telling them that 90% of them ain't going to make it. But he's so good. He says, I'll tell you, I ain't be one of the 10. Seek me. Seek the Lord. You know, my wife and I were sitting the other day, and it was talking about the atmospheric river that now has hit California after the blizzard hit California. And she says, you know, it seems like somebody's trying to get their attention. I said, yeah, honey. But you know, the problem is no one's listening. No one's listening. You know why the house isn't full today, folks? And don't get me wrong, hey, I wouldn't care if they just two here. Because the Bible says where two or three get in my name, there I'll be in the midst. That's the only one I care about here, the Lord. You know, I care less about the rest of you. Because if the Lord's missing you and me, you'd be meaningless. I say that, you know, I just say that. I don't mean that literally, I meant that figuratively. But if more were listening, more would be here. You say, Tom, what's that got to do with anything? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Seek the Lord, he says, but seek not Bethel. Nor enter into Gilgal. And pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go up into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Why was he saying don't seek them? Because that's where their gods were. That's where they had set up the idols to Moloch and to Baal. And he says, seek me. Don't seek them. Why? Why don't seek them? Well, you be in the 90. You know, if you want to go along with the crowd, go ahead. But you'll be in the 90. We'll see what happens to the 90. I know y'all think I'm nuts, but I'm not. Seek the Lord. See, he says, seek the Lord. Seek not the idols. And then he says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, and ye shall. You know, I have a preacher friend. I sent him a message alert. First message alert I've ever sent him. And I sent it to him. It's an equation. And I said, sin minus God equals death. But God minus sin equals life. You know, I remember when Bailey, you know, my niece used to stay with us, and she came home from school, and my wife had the bright idea she was going to help her with her math. And, you know, when we went to school, it was the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And 2 + 2 = 4. And 4 + 4 = 8. And 4 × 4 = 16. And 16 ÷ 4 = 4. You know, we had all the pluses and the minuses and the divisions. And I never will forget, my dad made every one of his children memorize the multiplication table. And you better know it. Because that was the simplicity of it. So she was going to help Bailey with her math. And she was trying to use what we learned. And Baylor says, oh, no, ma'am. No, that's not how we do it. We do it like this. You have to go up into the attic and find something. And Meme said, the attic? What's that got to do with math? To make a long story short, she flunked the math test the next day. So Meme said, well, go on up into the attic. I don't have a clue what I'm doing.
That would be Jamie and Amy.
We better understand the simplicity of the gospel, folks. We better not start taking the gospel up into the attic. 2 + 2 = 4. Bless God, God without sin is still life, and sin without God is still death. And you better not try to change that, else you'll be in the 90.
That's right.
Now, if you want to go along with the crowd, I'll show you in a minute where the crowd ends up. Glad I'm in the 10. Praise God. And then he goes on to say, ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the 7 stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord's his name. Seek the one that made all this. We can't do that today, can we? Now we decide who's a boy and a girl. If you want to be a girl and you're a boy, we'll just send you to the doctor and he'll transform you. Had a woman testifying before Congress just the other day. And the congressman asked her, said, so are you telling me that a man can get pregnant? And she said, yes, sir. Now look, 2 + 2 = 4. That stuff's in the attic. That's where that is. Men can't have children.
Nope.
Women can't produce children. That's why if you have 2 women together and you have 2 men together, they're going to be childless.
That's right.
You say, well, I know some's got children. They didn't produce them.
Nope.
God says there'll be male and female. I was telling them in the prayer room this morning, I don't know if you saw it, but this young boy up in Canada, high school kid, he went to school that day and they were talking about that. And he says, no, wait a minute. He says, the Word of God says that God made man and woman. They suspended that young man. He thought, well, I'll just go back tomorrow. So he went back the next day. They arrested that young man and put him in jail. Now, folks, if you don't think that we're in Sodom and Gomorrah, you got your head so far in the sand, you'll never breathe. And I got news for you. This book, right out of God's own mouth, read it for yourself. He says, as it was in the days of Lot. Figure that out. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When you see all these things, he says, don't get down. Look up. So look. I mean, you can just say, well, it's just the age in which we live in. That's the 90. That's up in the attic. Better keep it simple. Better trust this. Don't trust man. Don't trust government.
No.
Don't trust Republicans. Don't trust Democrats. Don't trust independents. Don't trust doctors. Don't trust lawyers. I don't care if they do try to keep you out of jail. Don't trust them. Hope they get you out, but don't trust them. Then he says, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. You're not going to be like if you're in the 10. The 90 won't like you, Lynn. They'll talk about you behind your back, and sometimes they'll talk to your face. They don't like you. Don't try to like them. I'm going to show you something astounding here in just a second. Well, no, I won't, I'll show it to you later. If you want, I'll show it to you. But in one place, he says, don't pray for them. Now, when God tells you not to pray for them, brother, they've gone too far. So he goes on to say, "For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions." You know, that's the one thing that sort of caught me as I read this week. Man don't believe God knows. Man has this attitude, oh, God don't care. God's oblivious to all this. He could care less what we do. I've got news for you. God knows. God cares. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have sent his son to die for us. He cares. We'll see if he changes that attitude, though. "For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right." Started to talk about Fauci, but I won't. Yeah, it will. Believe it will. He took royalties from these pharmaceutical companies that made this vaccine, folks. Millions of dollars. But wouldn't report how much because he says that's not required of law. The man in charge of everything that was making all the decisions was getting kickbacks. Is that not what he just said? I believe it is if you listened. "Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good." Have you noticed what's going on here? It couldn't get any worse. It's got God crying. "Yet in all that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Oh, don't turn to the idols. Don't depend on man. Don't trust in man. Seek me. Seek good and not evil, that you may. What does that say? You know, there's a hypothesis of life that says for every positive, there's a negative. I just tried, I was asking Jimmy, you know, I have this little remote at home. I won't tell you what it's to, but I have this little remote at home and it quit working. Well, it takes 3 AAA batteries. So I took out the old ones and I put in 3 new ones. It wouldn't work. So I looked and I thought, now, wait a minute, Tommy, you've put the batteries in wrong evidently. I said, no, the flat end of a battery goes against the spring. That's 2 + 2, isn't it, brother? And the flat end of the battery touches the positive. There's a negative and there's a positive. You got to have them right. I did it, and then I put the lid back on it, and it's got the little contact in the top of the lid, and the positive was contact in the contact, but no contact. I don't understand that. I did it the way I thought it was supposed to be, but it didn't work. Folks, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is, you've got to get it exactly right or it won't work. So he says, seek good and not evil that you may live. The negative is, if you don't seek good and you seek evil, you will die. Go to Revelations. He says this is the second death. Not talking about physical life here. He's talking about living. "And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken." Let's see if those people want to come on in. Whoever's talking out there. I didn't know if somebody was there needing to. So he goes on to say, "Seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken." Seek good and God will be with you.
Amen.
Well, there's none good but God. So what's he saying? Well, it's just what he said. Seek the Lord. Seek God. Hate the evil. Love the good. File that. It's going to come back here in just a minute. Well, not. Maybe. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph, the 10%. He'll be gracious to you. If you want the grace of God, remember I told you, listen, the 90% folks don't have the grace of God on them. I don't care what anybody tells you. Only the 10 have the grace of God on them. Everybody can experience mercy, but nobody but the children of God experience His grace, His favor, the life. So then he goes on to say, hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord of God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith, wailing shall be in all streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husband the mourning. Such is our skillful of lamentation. Now he says, listen, there's going to come a time when you're going to be mourning. I'm doing mourning now and giving you this message. And if you don't adhere to it and listen to it and believe it and receive it, there's going to come a time when you're going to be mourning. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Oh, the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Here the 90 is saying, oh, we're waiting on the Lord. He says, you are? You're waiting on me? Well, let's see how that's going to work out for you. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Now, would he tell a child of God to woe if you're looking for him? He says, no, he's going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that love his appearing. So I know he's not talking to the 10, he's talking to the 90 that think they're okay, that say they're okay, when they shall say peace and safety. You thought I was out of Thessalonians, didn't you? As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear got him. I mean, if you could outrun the lion and you think you're okay and all of a sudden here comes a big grizzly and got you. Neither one's good. Or went into the house. Whew, boy, I didn't think I could get out of there. And your hands on the wall. And a viper bites you. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast days. These people that go into church on Sunday somewhere and think they're going to worship God and then go back on Monday and just start living their life the way they want to live it. You know what God says? I hate that. I despise that. You may feel better about yourself, but the day's coming when you go and find out it wasn't any good. It was in the 90. So he says, I hate, I despise your feast days. Now, I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. The odor that's coming up from what you say is religion. I'm going to tell you something. Religion and a dollar and a half at McDonald's will get you a cup of coffee. But it'll also get you in hell. You better not be trusting on a religion. You better not be trusting on something that tells you you're good. And you do good things, and you don't hurt anybody, and you're a kind person, and you give to things. God ain't interested in all that. Unless you're saved first, and then he don't have to worry about you having a good heart and being generous and kind. He won't have to worry about that because that's his attributes. What he don't like is you trying to steal his attributes without having him first. He don't like that. My glory shall I not share with another. So he says, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Wait a minute, God. I thought you established that. Did he not? Isn't that the ceremonial law he's talking about? Did he not establish ceremonial law? But then they perverted it. It was no more coming to God in humility and doing what God said to deal with their sin. They were just doing it now religiously. And it was good enough for them. Going to church don't help you. Reading your Bible don't help you. Without God. You can be the most religious thinking, religious acting person in town. And you know who you're going to end up with? The worst person down in Brushy Mountain. Well, not Brushy Mountain anymore. They closed. I didn't know that till just recently. That thing's been closed for years. Near I have been referring to it. I don't know where they keep these. Well, they don't keep them now. They let them out, don't they? I forgot about that. We don't need prisons. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, they say, I saw this article the other day. Said, we need to be tough on crime, not tough on people. I didn't make that up. That's what one of our illustrious representatives said. You know where that's at, don't you? That's in the attic, brother. In other words, people's not committing the crime. You know, it's like I hear this stuff, and you've got me started now. Look, I'm just teaching. I'm not trying to be funny, and I'm not trying to be secular. I'm trying to teach God's word. You know, you hear this thing about gun control. Listen, I've got a gun. I've never fired it. I don't even know if it'd fire. I don't know if the bullets in it would fire. It might blow up on me, but I've got it. And I hear this thing about gun control. Guns are killing people. And I told my wife, they said, they talk like guns are walking down the street saying, okay, who am I going to shoot here? You can't separate crime and people, folks. People commit the crime. What he's saying is, you can't separate your sin either, my friend. You can't just try to act religious and think you know God. That don't work. You know where that's at, don't you? That's in the attic. I'm glad one back here picked it up. Oh, you did? Well, let me acknowledge Pam. She said I did too.
I got it too.
Did you get it, Doris? Yes, she got it. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace of offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. Don't stand and sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you don't know grace. Look, if you will, at chapter 9 in that same book. Just a few verses. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. Where's the altar? In the temple. What's another word for temple?
Sanctuary.
Starts with a C.
Church.
What's another word for church? Starts with an R. Second letter is E. Next letter is L. Religion. I mean, why do people go to church every Sunday? To be religious. Well, he says, I'm going to kill them all. Does he not say this, that judgment must first begin in the house of the Lord. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Now, you can take this for what it's worth. You can say I'm off the wall. That's okay. That's okay. I know what wall I'm on. If God didn't have mercy this morning, he'd kill a lot of people in church. That's how serious it is. This isn't just a gathering place, folks. This is God's house. And I'm going to tell you something. When you come into God's house, you better check yourself before you come in. You know, it's like when we were growing up. Now, if you want to get my mama, I mean really upset. And, of course, my mama could get upset in a heartbeat. Sort of like Dan. You just track mud into her clean house. That little thing, it's sweet and mop, clean. And here come a bunch of old boys coming in for mud, with mud on their shoes. You'd get hurt in a hurry. They call it child abuse today. She called it, don't come into my house with mud on your feet. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Better not come into God's house with mud on your feet. If my mother didn't like it, I can guarantee you God don't like it. We better come in here with a pure heart, seeking God. You say, Tom, what about a lost person? God doesn't hold him to that. They can come in with mud on their feet because he says, if you'll come to me, I'll clean them up. And then I'll mop the floor. That's who God is. But his children better not come into his house with mud on your feet. God ain't going to like it. And he ain't going to bless you. And he ain't going to honor it. He's going to make you get back out and get that mud off. So what we would like to do is before we come, go before God. Say, oh God, check my shoes. Check my shoes. I don't want to go today with mud. I want to go to your house to worship you. You know what they're doing in heaven? Got any idea? Well, let's go over and see. You know, it's always good to get a glimpse of heaven, isn't it? You know, nothing will motivate you more and encourage you more than getting them. By the way, I want to read this to you on the way to heaven. I'll read this to you. Now, in Matthew, Jesus said this. And he's talking about they wouldn't escape, right? Remember? If you run, the lion misses you, but the bear gets you. He's talking about there's no escape. You get that idea, don't you? And he says the same thing in chapter 9. But then in Matthew, chapter 23, I believe it is, 28 maybe, somewhere in there. Jesus says to them, ye vipers and snakes, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Now that's what we call a rhetorical question. Anybody want to tell me what that means? It means the answer is in the question itself. When Jesus says, how are you going to escape? The answer is you ain't. Now, he said it through the prophet Amos, right? That was the Lord speaking. He said, seek the Lord, seek me. And then he tells them, hey, if you don't, there'll be no escape for you. You can't run, you can't hide. In chapter 9, he says the same thing. He says, it doesn't matter if you think you flee. No. He says, even if you become a refuge and you go to another country as a refugee, I'll tell them to kill you. You know, we forget God controls this whole thing, folks. I mean, you can't run from God. My dad tried it when he got called to preach. He jumped on a train and ended up in California. Bless his heart. You know what happened when he got off the train? God says, well, son, it took you a while to get here. I've been waiting on you. You know what he did? He got back in another train, come back, and went to preaching. You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. Why would we try? If we try to hide from God, what are you going to end up in? The 90. Thank you. But he says here in Hebrews on the way to heaven, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Is that not what I just read to you? Okay. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Is that not what it gave you in Matthew where he says, oh, you snakes and vipers, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Well, that was in red letters, you know. We say that was Jesus' own mouth. Listen, God wasn't speaking through a prophet. He's speaking through his son. I'd say it's pretty serious, wouldn't you? Well, let's see if it's pretty serious. He says over in chapter 2, he says, therefore, since all that, and he showed how Christ was far superior to all the others, Aaron and Moses and all those. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of a reward, did it? Under the law, if you committed adultery, what was the penalty?
Death.
If you dishonored your parents, what was the penalty? Bless God, death. You say, well, that don't sound right. Take it up with God. He's the one that brought it up. He's the one that originated it. And he says, listen, if that was the truth, well, let's see what it says. How shall we escape? If they didn't escape, how are we going to escape? If we neglect, if we're careless with, if we don't adhere to, if we don't receive, if we don't believe, so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. You know, a person can come into this church and they can sit and they can hear the gospel. And the gospel that they hear can save them. Isn't that wonderful? But that same gospel, if they don't hear and believe, will damn them. No wonder God was crying. Because you see, he can't go against that. He can't change that. You say, well, God can do anything. He can't change his law, folks. He won't change his law. That's why when they come to the white throne judgment, he says, and the books were opened. In other words, they were judged by his very word. So if he says, seek the Lord and you shall live, that's what will happen. But if you don't seek him, you're going to die. But I was telling you about heaven. So I wanted to read to you about heaven. And here's what it says. And after these things, chapter 19, in case you're interested, Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Next time you wonder what's going on in heaven, you won't have to wonder anymore. Saying, hallelujah! You know, maybe we could start that down here, couldn't we? You know, if you're going to, anyone, you know, an athlete or an actor or an actress, they prepare for what they're going to do, right? Maybe we ought to start preparing. And he says, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his words, his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, the 90, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah. We're going to feel bad about the 90, right? No. No, we're going to feel good about God. And her smoke rose up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! That's what's going on in heaven, folks. They ain't up there playing golf. You know, I've heard people, and I know what they mean. They say it flippantly. I don't think you should be flippant about these things, especially heaven. Well, I wonder what kind of golf course there'll be in heaven. Well, first of all, you couldn't have a golf course in heaven because when you hit a shot, it'd go in the hole. You'd shoot 18 every time you go out. Course record. I mean, that's silly. What we're going to do in heaven is worship the one that got us there. You say, well, Tom, that's the 10. Yeah, that's the 10. Let me read you some more. I'm over in 21. Here's what he says. In verse, I got a few minutes. They'll stick their head in, but I'll read quick. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. Listen, that ain't climate change. Bless God, that's God. Amen. Believe this nonsense if you want to. Where's that at? In the attic. That's in the attic too. 2 + 2 = 4. Don't ever forget that. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared for a bride adorned for her husband. That's the truth. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and they be their God. If that don't get you wood burning, it's wet. That's where we're going, folks. If you seek the Lord, you live. That's what living is. It's in a place where you never die. And God shall wipe away all tears. Stand beside a casket and mourn and weep. There won't be any more of that. Stand beside a loved one who's been told they're terminal. You weep. They wipe away all that. Why? Because there won't be any of that. And he says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are faithful and true. You can stake your eternal soul on it. But if you try to believe something else, where's that at? That's in the attic. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars. Who's a liar? Who's a liar? No, who's a liar? The liars are here. Who's a liar? According to this book, it says, He who denies that Christ has come in the flesh is a liar. So if you deny Christ, you're in the 90. And you ain't going. It's just that simple. When you die, they can say all they want to. Well, I believe they're up there looking down on us. No, bless God, you won't be looking down and you won't be looking up. You'll just be saying, Ooh, man, that's hot. Then on over here he says this. Talks about the 12 gates. And he says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. What a time. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, never to rejoice. That's where we're going if you're in the 10. Bless God, if you're in the 90, you can forget about it. You'll never see it, sniff it, nor hear it. He goes on to say this. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nation of them which are saved, where are they at? The ten. That's the ten, folks. That's the ones that sought the Lord and are living. He says, for the glory of God, it did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The people which are saved, he says, are going to walk in the light of it. You better get that straight. Your family better get that straight. Your children better get that straight, bless God. You ain't going because dad's good or mom's good. Or you ain't going because your children's saved. You ain't going because your pastor's good. You're going, bless God, if you're saved. And he says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be... And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But the 90, where are they? Well, he tells you. And there shall in no wise, no way, shape, form, nor fashion. You know, a square peg won't go in a round hole. I don't care. I don't care how much you push, twist, think. Try a round peg don't go in a square hole, or a square peg don't go in a round hole. One of them, Lynn. You'd know more about that. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a... If you deny Christ, you ain't going. Folks, that's not complicated. 2 + 2 = 4. Anybody can understand that. You have to seek the Lord. You have to come to God the way God says to come to God, or you're not going. But they which are... You know, it's sad to hear about the 90, but he wants you to end on a good note. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of... What would it behoove a person? What would it behoove a person? Make sure your name is in the book of the Lamb, not the church roll. Don't get me wrong, I got nothing against joining church. But folks, you can put your name on this roll all you want to. Without Christ, you'll be in the 90. And you won't get there. Come on in, I'm done.